Welcome to church.
We are so glad that you're here.
And we want you to know that when you walk through our doors today,
you didn't just walk into a building.
You walked into a family.
And regardless of who you are,
where you came from,
or what you look like,
you are welcome here.
Because at this church, we believe that God is love.
And that He is in the business of rekindling lost passions,
restoring broken dreams, and filling empty lives.
At this church, we believe that life in Christ is not a formula of rules and laws,
but a moment-by-moment relationship with Jesus.
And His love is infinite and everlasting,
without pretense or conditions or discrimination.
At this church, we can't stand religion,
but we love God.
And if you're not quite sure what the difference is yet,
we can't wait to show you.
We're glad you joined us today.
Welcome to church.
All right, children's ministry, you are dismissed. Thank you so much. We are so grateful to our children's ministry for all that they do with the children that God has entrusted them to. Amen, church?
Amen.
If you need a Bible, please raise your hand and one of our men will bring you a Bible as they move through the sanctuary. It is always good to have the Word of God in our hands. You know, there is not a time when we preach, when we teach in this church where we do not have the Word of God open in front of us. If you have your Bible with you this morning in printed form or in digital, hold it up all over the sanctuary. Amen. I love seeing that. We're going to be using our Bible a lot today. Bible, the inerrant, inspired, absolutely perfect, without error or omission, Word of God is what we base everything here on. The leaves of the Bible, the Word of God, are filled with the idea that things are about to change. What's about to change? The King is coming.
Amen.
The Lord Jesus Christ is returning in glory. For you political folks, I want you to know that when the King comes back, He's not going to be riding a donkey. He's not going to be riding an elephant. Scripture says He returns on a white horse, and on His thigh is written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen? Please turn in the Word of God to Philippians chapter 4. We'll be picking it up at verse 4. As we continue our series on healthcare and our spiritual healthcare. This series is based upon Colossians 3:23, and whatever you do, do as unto the Lord and not as unto men. Last week we started a series with healthcare part 1, the symptoms. Is Christ in my life? In other words, is my life consistent with the personality of Jesus Christ? Does my life claim the power of Christ? Does my life culminate in the praise of Jesus Christ? Today, as we look at healthcare part 2, we're going to be talking about the prescription. And what prescription do we have? Joy. Joy, to live a joyful life. You ever see somebody that's always down, always gloomy? They make things better by moving on? You know, that's not how Christians should be. Amen, church? You know, Proverbs 23 verse 7 says, as a man thinks, so he is. In other words, stay away from stinking thinking. Keep an attitude of gratitude. Friends, there are times when I am simply amazed at the lack of joy in Christians. You wonder sometimes. Now, I didn't write the scripture that we're going to look at today here in Philippians. Obviously, the Apostle Paul wrote this. But let's remember where Paul is when he did write this. He's in prison. What is he doing in prison? He's waiting to have his head chopped off for doing exactly what God had called him to do, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Christians in America, we are spoiled. We get snickers from someone in the checkout line, or someone makes a sideways comment about us and we feel like we're being persecuted. We're not being persecuted. We have it made as Christians living in the United States of America. Did you know that there have been over 1 million Christians killed in the Mideast and Northern Africa, the Sudan, in the last 10 years? People that refuse to discount the person of Jesus Christ. They refuse to denounce Him. And for that, they're willing to willingly give up their lives. And that's the kind of Christians that we should emulate. a Christian that finds joy in the situation, no matter what that situation is, because we are here but for a little time, and then we go to be with the Father. We're going to see today that even though Paul is in Mamertine prison in Rome, the prisons in that day were terrible places. It wasn't like the prisons that you see that nowadays. Mamertine prison actually was underneath the street and underneath the city. And it was actually part of the drainage system. And so as Paul was in this little cell that was about 6 feet by 8 feet, he was there for years. And when it would rain, winter or summer, the water would just flush through there. Can you imagine? Writing the book of Philippians, a book of joy in those kinds of circumstances. We see here a heart, as we read today's passage, that is full of joy. So let's put aside whatever problems that we have. Let's put aside the issues of our day, and let's look at these seven steps for joy. And you're going to go, good Lord, Pastor Larry. You usually got three or four. Just how long are we going to be here? Every once in a while, one of you guys say, when I say you got it, somebody say got it back, and I know I can move on. Amen? Yeah. All right. Not yet. Listen, let's read today's passage. Well, before we read today's passage, let's think about this for just a moment. All right? Whatever health care issues you may have, joy in Jesus Christ is the answer. Amen? Amen? Have joy. Think about it this way. Have joy in your life because the great I Am knows who I am. Can you imagine that? That the great I Am knows your name. My wife can tell you I've been known to wake up in the middle of the night crying and wake her up at 3 a.m. going, He knows my name. And she pats me on the head and says, that's sweet, honey. Let's get back to sleep here. Today's passage, Philippians 4, verses 4 through 9. Reading from the New King James Version. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you. May the Lord add His blessing upon His magnificent, inerrant, perfect word. As we look today, as I said before, we have seven quick points that we are going to discuss. Point number one is that you should look at your life and see your source of the joy. In other words, what should be the source of your joy? Well, the source of your joy should be in the Lord. Each week I try to preach how verse 4 starts. Rejoice in the Lord. See, your joy is to be in the Lord. You are to be as the sheep was in the recent series that we just finished when he boasts, the Lord is my shepherd. I don't have just anybody looking out for me. I don't have just anyone tending to me. It's not just some guy down the street that cares for me, but it's the Lord Almighty Himself. The great I Am knows who I am. The Lord is my shepherd. You know, Jesus said in John 15, verse 11, says, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy, talking about Christ's joy, might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Christian, when you become a saved person, when you ask Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life, I want you to understand that Christ takes up residence in you. And you have all of Christ within you. The problem with Christians is we don't take advantage of what we have. If we have all of Christ in us, then we have all of the joy that Christ has. How much joy did Christ have in us? So much joy that He went to the cross for our sins. How much joy do you have for others in your life? Are you willing to suffer for people? Are you willing to be snickered at? Are you willing to be mocked simply to be that shining light on the hill? Simply to be the saltiness that makes them thirsty for the living water? Are you willing to return humbleness and gentleness and grace and mercy because you have the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ within you? Friend, if your joy is in your circumstances and the circumstances change, then your joy will change. If you get your joy in amusement and the amusement runs out, your joy will change. If you get your joy from your business and your business goes bad, then your joy is going to change. If you get your joy from your friends and your friends fail you, and I trust me when I tell you they will, then your joy is going to fail. If you get your joy from your health and your health breaks down, as it will sooner or later, and everybody here over 60 say amen. Wow, we got a bunch of old people here. Some of y'all were like, yeah, amen to that one, huh? You know, I get up some morning and go, wow, that never hurt before. And by the way, what is that? I was in working in my yard yesterday and dramatically pulled a muscle. And so you guys keep me in prayer that I can stand up here the whole time, because it didn't go well for a little while yesterday. As Miss Ruth Ann looked at me flopping around on the ground, squealing like a child. All right, but if your joy is in your health and your health breaks down, as it will sooner or later, then your joy is going to go. But if your joy is in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you have something that will never, ever, ever change.
Amen.
Because He does not change. The Lord Jesus Christ is God Himself. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And God does not change. We have a couple of passages that are coming up on the screen. First is Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. What does the Lord say? It says, "For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob." What does that mean? The Lord does not change. If He extended grace for your salvation, amen? And we needed our salvation. And He has said, you are saved for all eternity. You can come into my heaven. Therefore, you are not consumed. Because we don't always act like we're saved. Amen? And we're going to do something. We're going to mess up. Hebrews 13, verse 8 reads, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." May the Lord add His blessing upon that. Jesus Christ never changes. He loves you with a deep, abiding love. He went to the cross for you. When He stretched out His arms upon the cross at Calvary and He looked to His left and right as He was driving those nails in, your name was there. The book of Isaiah says, the Lord says, "For I have written your name on the palm of my hand." God cannot forget your name. There's times when we wonder where God is, amen? There's a time when the Lord is teaching us patience, and we wonder, what is going on, Father? But the Lord has your name written upon His hand. He cannot change. He cannot forget you. Therefore, His joy in Him is eternal. The joy that the Lord has for you is eternal. Psalm chapter 16 and verse 11 says, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. And at your right hand are pleasures forevermore." Eternal joy is in the Lord. Amen? So, is your joy in the Lord? Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10 says, "Then he said to them," by the way, if you know the story of Nehemiah chapter 8, I gave this sermon, one of the first sermons I gave as a senior pastor here. The people had been away and they'd been in captivity and they'd forgotten the word of the Lord. They had forgotten. And so Nehemiah, They asked Nehemiah and the scribes to read to them the Word of God. And so all of the people of Israel gathered. And Ezra, the scribe, stood up with this great group of men around him. And he read the Word of God from morning until noon. If I did that, I might be standing here by myself. But he did that. And once they heard the Word of God is a mirror convicting our hearts. Amen? It simply reflects back to us what we aren't. But when they heard that, the people started crying and crying out to God. And Nehemiah says to them, "Wait, go your way. Eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the what, church? The joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. So is your joy in the Lord. First, make the source of your joy the Lord Himself. Second, the sight of the joy. The sight of the joy. What is the sight of the joy? The place of the joy. That place is to be in the presence of God. You are to live your life as if you are in the very presence of God. Look at verse 5 here, church. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Now that word gentleness there means humbleness. Let your humbleness be known to man. Listen to me. There is nothing worse than a mean, nasty, rude Christian as a witness in the world. May I have an amen on that?
Amen.
We have the secret. There is nothing in and of ourselves that is worthy of passing judgment on any other person. There before the grace of God go I. And so therefore, what I should do is extend the same grace and mercy to other people that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ that He extended to me. That while I yet was a sinner, Christ died on the cross for me. And for people that don't know Jesus, then we need to be extra special in sharing Christ in our lives. Be that light. Be that light. Live your lives as if you're in the presence of the Lord. It says here, why? Because the Lord is at hand. Now, some preachers preach here that this refers to the second coming of Jesus Christ. I believe the text clearly shows, if you go back, and I'm not going to subject you to that, if you go back to the original text, clearly shows that Paul means that the Lord is right here with us. Does that change your perspective of where you're sitting here? I want to ask again, does that change your perspective? The Lord is right here. Right up, He's everywhere. Isn't that awesome? That when our praise team was lifting praise and you were out in here and you were celebrating the joy of the Lord, that God Himself was here? We should give a concert of praise. We should give an attitude of praise and joy in our lives that we would not be surprised if the roof lifted right off of this place and we were exposed to God's heaven. And all of the angels. God is here with us. That's why we should rejoice. He is here at all times. My God is closer than the skin I'm wearing. My God is closer to me than the air I breathe. There is no place where I can go from His presence, says Psalm 139. When you feel alone, when you feel abandoned, you're not a child of God. God is right there. Be joyful in the presence of the Lord, in the sight of the Lord. So first we see the source of your joy, the Lord. Second, we see the sight of your joy, the Lord's presence. Third, we see the serenity and the joy. You can write this on the side. Refuse to worry about anything. Serenity and the joy. Refuse to worry about anything. Verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with, what's that word? Thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. This word anxious here literally means to be pulled apart, to be torn apart. Okay? Theologically speaking, look at the word anxious this way. Because anxious is an emotion. Pulled apart. When your emotions are separated, when your personality is separated, that's schizophrenia. Okay? A worrier is on the edges of schizophrenia, friends, especially Christians. They're divided. They're pulling themselves apart. On one side is fear. On another side is hope. Back and forth they go. Hope, fear. Hope, fear. Hope, fear. Hope. Where do we usually come down on the side of? Fear. But let the joy of the Lord guide your heart and come down on the side of hope. Friends, this will never change until you come to a place in your life when you completely trust Christ.
Amen.
Completely trust Christ. You have to trust Him for everything. Now, this is not in your notes, but I have three W's here. I stuck this in afterwards. Yeah, you're going to say, where am I going to write that, Pastor Larry? You filled up this whole bulletin here. Well, find a spot. First, Jesus says that worry is worthless. That's one of the W's. Worry is worthless. Okay? Luke 12:25 says, "And which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature?" Okay, for those of you that are vertically challenged, worrying about your stature is not going to help. Wait a minute, I wasn't looking at anybody in particular here before I get some of these looks back up here. My wife is moving in the other direction here. Mama Brister will be here in December. Miss Brister, my mom, all right, she's about 19 days away from coming here. I hope that when she's standing up, she can see over these chairs here. You're going to take one look at her and say, how on earth did that guy come out of her? She's a little bitty thing. Okay, God says in Hebrews 13:15. So worry is worthless. Don't waste your time with worthless worrying. You can't change it anyway. God has a life for you to go through. Second, worry is wasteful. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. It's a good verse for you to have underlined. Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. If you're there and you have a paper Bible, say amen.
Amen.
You guys are good. Matthew chapter 6, verse 34, reading from the Word of God. Therefore, Jesus speaking, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient to this day is its own trouble. Jesus is saying, listen, you're going to have some trouble. It's going to happen. This is the world that we live in. There is trouble and strife. I will believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ because He has overcome the world. Amen? So, and it's in the troubles that we learn to depend upon God. But if you depend upon God, He also gives you a sufficient amount of strength. Depend upon the Lord. Don't depend upon your pastor. You should be able to trust your pastor. You should be able to trust your church leadership. But I statistics are 100% in this, that sooner or later, if you've known me for many years, it's already happened, I will disappoint you in some way. It will happen. I just ask that you forgive me. I'm just asking your forgiveness now before it happens. All right? That's right, Lord. I'm covered. I heard him chuckling. But listen, friends. When you depend upon Christ and you have the joy of the Lord in you, then when somebody lets you down, you can find forgiveness in your heart. What did Jesus say in the Sermon on the Mount? If you cannot forgive, you will not be forgiven. So you got to find a way to forgive people that have wronged you. We've all been wrong. Lean on Christ. Stop wasting your resources doing all the worrying yourself. And third, the third W, worry, is wicked. Why is worry wicked? How could that possibly be wicked? A worrier acts as though God is dead. A worrier acts as if God isn't in control. Worry is an insult to Almighty God for the child of God. Can you imagine how it grieves the heart of God who's here, who cares about everything about us, for that we act like He can't take care of us? Can you imagine that? So worry is worthless. Worry is wasteful. Worry is wicked. Friends, be anxious, be pulled apart, and nothing. Look at verse 6 again. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. You are to pray about everything. Amen?
Amen.
Pray about everything. Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 27 reads, I am the Lord thy God. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? What is too hard for the Lord? Nothing. Who is like the Lord? No one. We sing that song all the time. Who is like the Lord? There is no one like our mighty God. So no matter what the size of your problem, bring it to God. God wants to hear about the issues in your life. He wants to know that you trust Him. The Lord loves the sound of your voice when you raise it to Him. Sometimes in the middle of the day, I give Miss Ruth Ann a call at work just because I like her voice. Things are going tough, and I'll give her a call. I know that voice. And then just lifts my heart. It just lifts my spirit. I love the sound of her voice. How much more does God love us? How much more does God want to hear from you? There's no matter the size of the problem. You know, I hear folks say, oh, Pastor, I don't want to bother God with all these little things. I don't bother Him with this little stuff. Friends, our God is a big God. Amen. Our God is awesome. Our God is mighty. And here's a newsflash for you, child of God. Every problem is a little problem to God. The things that we find so enormous, the things that we find without, that it seems like there's no answer to it, the things that we think are such a big issue is a little thing to God. Amen? Isn't that good? There is nothing that is a big deal for God. Our fifth point today in our spiritual joy is that the spirit that we should look at, the spirit of joy. The spirit of joy. In other words, if you have a spirit of joy, did I miss one here? That's one I've just been talking about. Shoulders of joy. My problem. My fault. I got all excited, guys. I'm sorry. The one that we were just talking about is the shoulders of joy. Bring every problem to God in prayer. Okay? Shoulders of joy. That was point number four. That's the one I just spent 5 minutes talking about. My apologies. Now we come to the spirit of joy. Develop a thankful attitude. The highest form of worship is when we learn to thank God for all things. Thank God for everything. He knows best. We may not think that sometimes, but God knows best for your life. Do you thank Him in the little things? Did you thank Him this morning when you opened your eyes and you looked up and saw the ceiling? Lord, I can see. Did you thank Him for the breath in your lungs? Do you thank Him for these things? Do you thank Him for your health? Amen?
Amen.
Thank God for all of these things.
Yes.
And when you go through the difficult times, be thankful to God and ask God, Lord, what are you trying to teach me in this moment? What is the lesson here, Father? I'm thankful, God. I don't see right now what the purpose is, but I know that there's a purpose.
Yes.
And Father, I know that there's nothing that you can do that can be done to me that is not first passed before your eyes. You say, well, Pastor Larry, where do you get that from? In the book of Job. Anybody ever heard of Job? The Bible reads that the sons of heaven came to present themselves before the Father. And the accuser, Satan, came with them. How did Satan get into God's heaven? I don't know. That's another subject some other time. But listen to this. God says, have you seen my servant Job? There is none righteous and holy as this man. He's the most holy in all of the East. Satan says, let me take what's important to him. Let me take things from him, and surely he will curse you. For his own purposes, God says, okay. And so he loses his property. He loses his wealth. He loses his children. He loses his herds. He loses everything. And Job says, blessed be the name of the Lord. Satan goes back into God's presence. And God says, have you seen my servant Job? He still holds fast to his integrity, even though you incited me to allow you to touch him. Satan says, ah, flesh for flesh, bone for bone. Let me strike his flesh, and surely he will curse you. God says, go do it, but you may not kill him. And so he goes and he strikes Job from head to toe and boils. You ever had a boil? Who's ever had a boil? You don't see those around much these days, but for us older ones, they were fairly common in our younger years. They are terrible. If you get one, you just want that to be over. From the crown of his head to the soles of his feet, covered in boils. He crawls up on an ash heap for God's purpose. Here's the issue. Job never saw the other side of the conversation. You don't know how God is using you in people's lives. When you are going through difficulties, I don't say we have to be happy, smiley because we're going through a tough time or in the hospital, but we do have to be grateful to God for our salvation. And we do have to let people know that we trust God, that we don't understand why that's going on, we don't understand the infirmity that we may have, but we trust God. And when you do that, God is given the glory. That is a spirit of joy. Verse 7. And the peace of God, when you have that spirit of joy, the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. Brings us to our sixth point. Be specific in your joy. Look at verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Practice positive thinking. You can't be a Christian and be down all the time. Now, I don't want to go all zen on you here, but a Christian should suffer from boundless joy and endless positive thinking. We are here for a little time. Amen? Amen. Think about how long eternity is that we're going to be in God's heaven. Now, how great is that going to be? I hope, and when we get to heaven, that I'm close enough to the throne to see the back of Roger Fable's head. Amen?
Amen.
That's how close I want to be. In other words, a great attitude. An attitude of gratitude. What on earth are some of us so down about? See, here's the issue. You need to lock your mind upon the Lord. Think on these other things. Think on these good things that we see in verse 8. It is so, so important, friends. How do you get to that point where you think on those things? It is so important to have a quiet time with the Lord every day. It is so important that you read God's Word every day. You know what? Here's what I want our church to start doing. Every single day, before you go to bed, read one page of your Bible. Start with that. I guarantee you it will become a consuming fire in your life. And before you know it, you'll be reading through the Bible multiple times in a year. That's what I started with. I started with one page a day. Actually, I started with one verse a day. I didn't want to make myself sound better than I actually was back then. But do that. Spend quiet time with the Lord. Every morning get up and load up on the Lord Jesus Christ. Bathe yourself in His presence. And I guarantee you'll be flooded with a positive attitude. Number 7, staying in the joy. Staying in the joy. Get busy and stay busy is basically what this is about. Verse 9, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you. Here's what this is saying. All this other stuff that I just talked about, that's what you need to do. It's just a wrap-up. Verse 7 is saying to practice all the rest, including with the mindset of our key verse for this series, Colossians 3:23, and whatsoever you do, do in the name of the Lord. Do as unto the Lord and not to men. Listen, some of us, when we're not right with God, we get busy and all churchy trying to make up for it. Don't do that. A lot of church work is done out of guilt. At Living Hope Church, we don't guilt anyone into serving anywhere. We want you serving where God has called you to serve. Amen?
Amen.
If you're not serving, pray. Just trying to make ourselves feel better sometimes, or worse, by trying to buy our way into heaven with our work in the church. Listen, friends, what the mind focuses on, the mind believes. What the mind believes, it usually does, or eventually does. Have you got that? Now stay with me here, because this is going to sound a little weird what I'm about to say. All right? How do I say this? What the mind does not focus on, it dismisses. What your brain doesn't focus on, it dismisses. If you are always down, and if you're not thinking of the joyful things, the good things, all of these other things that we just discussed, your mind will dismiss that from your life. But when you focus on that, it eventually pulls you into that lifestyle. That's why Paul wrote verse 8. Now, did you know that your brain is engineered in such a way that it cannot focus on two thoughts at exactly the same time? It simply cannot do it. Okay? And that's why Satan wants to continuously introduce bad thoughts. Continuously wants to do that. Listen, I'm going to address this particular subject matter after the first of the year when I talk to you guys about the Garden of Eden. But let me put it this way. If you look in chapter 1 of the Bible, it says that the Lord created the birds out of the waters. If you look over in verse chapter 2, it says that the Lord created the birds out of the ground. You're saying, wait a minute, is that a problem in Scripture? No, the first is talking about the creation across the earth. The second was talking about specifically the Garden of Eden. Why did God do that? And if you read those passages, it says that He created all these animals so that they could, he showed them to Adam who was there. Now think about this. Adam was standing there when God created these animals out of the ground in the Garden of Eden for him to name. He is the only one that saw God create. He saw it with his own eyes. Amen? Eve was created out of Adam after all these animals were named. She never saw God create. Now I'm going to expound on this when we preach on that series. Who did Satan go after? He went after Eve. And we're going to clarify that for you in that series. I wanted to whet your appetites a little bit with that. So don't let the devil pry your mind open with things that are not true. Don't let things that are not honest, things that are not just, things that are not pure, things that are not lovely, things that are not of good report. Christians, where there is no virtue, there is no praise to God. And where there is no praise to God, that's where you should not be. So think about where you go. Think about what you do, the movies you watch. Think about how you dress and act around people. Listen, in the book of Ephesians, Ephesians is all about the church of Christ and the fact that we cannot work our way into heaven. But listen to me, friends. The book of Ephesians being about the church of Christ, tied over here to verse 8 here, is telling us, reinforcing to us, don't go there. Child of God, if there's something in your heart that tells you maybe I shouldn't be here, guess what? You shouldn't be there. I shouldn't be saying this. I shouldn't be listening to this. I shouldn't be watching this. Guess what? You shouldn't be. Amen? Amen. So wrapping this up. Once you rejoice in the Lord, once you practice the presence of the Lord, once you learn how to pray about everything, once you become grateful and give God thanks for all He has done, once you develop a positive mental attitude, once you refuse to worry, then you need to get busy. But get busy for the right reasons. Friends, James 2:26 says, faith without works is dead. In closing, I'm going to say something here real weird. Stay with me. I'm going to call the praise team up in just a second. Impression without expression leads to depression. I'm going to say that again. Impression without expression leads to depression. What in the world is Pastor Larry talking about? What does that mean? Here's your nugget. If you come to church and you listen to me preach, you fill in your notes, you get yourself some biblical knowledge, you listen to the praise team sing, and you lift your voice up in praise, but you go out into the world and you never practice those things, that's not going to make you a better person. That's going to make you a worse person. Why? You see, because you're hearing these things. You love God. You know He's given you things to do. There's not a single person sitting in this church that hasn't been given a job by God. It's why you're here. But it's going to make you a worse person because you're not doing what you've been called to do. Amen? Yeah, it got a little quieter here as our praise team comes. But if you do get busy in the Lord, doing the Lord's work at the Lord's calling for the things that God has called you to do, then according to verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Think upon the things of Christ. Live upon the things of Christ. And when you do that, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, and here's what I mean by surpasses all understanding, the people that knew you before you were saved will go, what is with them now? That doesn't make sense. I knew him back in the day. I knew her back in the day. It doesn't make sense. I don't understand. They don't understand because you have the heart. You have the mind of Christ. Amen? May I ask, are you ready for your prescription of joy? Are you ready for your prescription of joy? Then lay everything at the feet of Jesus and lean hard upon the Lord. And let your life be filled with joy. And that that very issue, a joy-filled life, is a spiritual prescription for your Christian life. Amen? Isn't God's Word good? Every head bowed and every eye closed.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, visit our website at www.lhcfl.com. Visit us on Facebook or get the ChurchLink app from the App Store. Again, thank you, and we hope to see you in service soon.